Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Rex Grossman, Drew Brees. Let's just talk about, just in our last couple minutes with you, predicting the Super Bowl pair. We did last year. We had a nice preview show with Chris Berman and yourself. Who's going to be there in a week?
Who is going to be there? That is the question. You know, when you look at these teams, the great thing about this year is that anybody, you know, just like this last weekend, you look at the four teams that played, you say, hey, that could go to anybody, you know. And it did, because who would have thought that San Diego was going to lose at home? But I think the same thing is going to happen here. You got Indianapolis and the Patriots in Indianapolis. Indianapolis undefeated. They're 9-0 there. They even won against the Chiefs when the Chiefs intercepted three passes from Peyton Manning. So for the Patriots, I look at them as they're an opportunistic team. They're a team with a great deal of confidence. Now, you know, we talk about Peyton Manning and what's he thinking. You better believe that it's on his mind, the fact that he's never been to the Super Bowl. And this is on his mind. And so when things like that are on your mind, that means that you're not focusing and concentrating on what you really should do. And the other side over there with the Patriots, this ragtag bunch of guys, you know, whoever they throw in there, that seems to work. And it starts with Belichick, the coach, and trickles down to their quarterback in Brady. And I think that, you know, Brady is one heck of a pressure type of a quarterback. I think that he's going to be able to go in there and win against the Colts, because the Chiefs had a shot at beating them there, and they're not nearly as good as New England. So that's one game. Now you talk about Chicago up in that Windy City up there taking on the Saints. The Saints have been on a roll, but I think they're going to hit a roadblock, and I think the weather's going to be a factor in this ball game that's going to favor the Chicago Bears, and it's going to be the running game of the Chicago Bears that's going to keep them in the ball game, and they're going to limit Rex Grossman and his throws down there, making sure that they don't put him in a situation where he can turn that thing over. So, as I said before, I thought the Bears are going to win, so it looks like to me the Bears and the Patriots will be playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, then I'm going to have some fun and say at this point on Monday, I'm going with the Saints and Indy. I just think that the Indianapolis defense, tell me what it is that would allow a defense that was so poor just a matter of weeks ago, with the addition of Bob Sanders, to be playing at a whole new level, particularly against the run.
I tell you, they're a new team. I saw them against the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going back to the Patriots and Belichick. Belichick is a guy that can come up with a scheme and come up with a plan that can work, and it's been proven there. I mean, that's why he's been so successful in the playoffs. And I think that he's going to come up with something new, something that's going to be beneficial to the to his team, the Patriots. And that's why I think that, you know, it starts with the head coach on down to the quarterback, to the players. They are believing, Nick, and you know as well as I do. You talk about head games. This is what this is all about. That's the most important thing, is you got to really believe that you can beat somebody, and I think the Patriots believe that.
I believe that for whatever reason, this Indianapolis Colts defense, the one factor that no one expected, that that's going to be the key point in this game. Final question for you, my friend, is our good friend Marty Schottenheimer. There are rumors, I understand, that Marty may not even be there by Wednesday. What's that about?
Well, in Kansas City, they're talking about that, the fact that Marty has not gotten along with the general manager, Smith, and I guess this is a known fact. One thing was that Marty wanted to keep Drew Brees, and they said, no way this is going to happen. Rivers is our quarterback, and Brees became a free agent and went to the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, the owner is going to be the guy that decides things. I know Marty has 1 year left on his contract, but the things that I have been hearing, at least coming out of Kansas City, is that there's a chance that he won't be back next year.
Well, that's hard to believe. And the other question for me is, the final question before we let you go, is this team did play its heart out. They made a couple critical mistakes, including Marty, of course, going for it on 4th and 11, including Marty throwing that red flag and contesting that fumble, the key decision in the game. But the big thing to me is Philip Rivers. He didn't go to Purdue, but with one more season, you've got to expect that San Diego is going to be sitting pretty next year atop this league.
Well, I would think so. You got LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, arguably the best player in the National Football League, and and Merriman is on the defensive side, and he's a factor there. They had everything going. Nick, they had everything going. Offense, defense, they've got the Pro Bowl kicker as well. And so, you know, that's all the pieces you're looking for, all three phases of the game. But the thing it comes down to, don't make those mistakes in the playoffs because you don't have next week to correct those things. And I don't know how the ownership is going to look at the situation there. They might feel like a lot of us felt that was the best team in the National Football League and they should be on their way to the Super Bowl, but they are not. So it's going to be interesting to see what plays out here in the next couple of weeks with Marty Schottenheimer.
Well, Len, as always, you've been great. Appreciate it. You have a nice icy week in Kansas City, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you, sir. You're the best. Len Dawson, Lenny the Cool, who may be Lenny the Cold this week. And speaking of things heating up, we're joined by ESPN Magazine senior writer Rick Bucher. Rick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, one of the biggest changes to me in the sort of Mount Rushmore of the top players in the NBA this year, I thought we'd start off by talking about what it is about Gilbert Arenas that has taken him from a guy that deserved more respect, should have made the All-Star team last year without having to be put in by the coach, to being clearly... I mean, the guy walks away not even looking as he hits 30-footers to win games this year. What has happened to him?
No, a question that overall, talent-wise, there's nobody that has the physical package that Gilbert Arenas has in terms of unlimited range, the ability to put the ball on the floor and attack the rim, incredibly strong. He's just, Gilbert's a little bit nutty. It's why he was a second-round pick. He's a little bit unpredictable. And so that's one of the reasons why he hasn't quite received the due that he might have coming to him. But he's settled down a little bit. More importantly, he's on a team that settles him down. He's got a lot of mature, stable players around him, and that's allowed him to flourish. So hopefully he just keeps it together, because there are times where Gilbert just kind of goes off his nut. You never, I mean, this is a guy who has oxygen pumped into his house so that it creates a high altitude atmosphere. Those are the kind of, when he was with the Warriors, he used to bring his dogs in and run them on the treadmill with him when he was working out. It just does some nutty things that probably prevented him from being recognized for the player that he is.
Moving on to the way the season is playing out, Dallas has found itself in the last 3 weeks as well. Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest change in Dallas? Because I look at the Suns and Dallas as the teams that will ultimately determine the champion of the NBA.
I agree. In fact, when you were talking about the change of Mount Rushmore, I thought you were going to go with the fact that the San Antonio Spurs are clearly not the best team in the league or even in the Western Conference right now. The battle right now is between the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns, and it will probably come down to health. To me, the biggest difference between Dallas this year and last year is the fact that Josh Howard is healthy and has taken another step forward as far as his playing ability. He is a lot like Manu Ginobili is for the San Antonio Spurs. May not be looked at as their best player, but maybe the most integral player to their winning a championship. You are always going to get something out of Jason Terry. You're obviously going to get something out of Dirk Nowitzki. But you need that third guy who can make plays at both ends of the floor, who can take the toughest defensive assignment and also is just a nightmare matchup on the offensive end. Josh Howard is that for the Dallas Mavericks in much the same way that Manu Ginobili is for the San Antonio Spurs. And if the Spurs are going to have any chance of challenging those other two teams, then Manu has to be healthy at the end of the year. He has to be playing the way he has been playing for the last couple of weeks.
What about Utah? You were so impressed with them early in the year, a team of no-name, sort of like the Miami no-name defense. You know, this is a team that has surprised a lot of people. Are they continuing to impress you?
Yeah, they've come back to earth somewhat, which I expected, because they basically had the same group coming back from last year. Not a whole lot of teams could say that. They were also one of the teams out of the West that didn't go overseas to have a training camp. If you look at the Clippers and San Antonio and Phoenix, all those teams had slow starts because, in part, they went overseas, and that's just not the ideal way to prepare for a season. And they also had a chip on their shoulder. They wanted to show that they were a lot better than the team that didn't make the playoffs last year. But they have some inherent flaws in their team. When your best shot blocker is playing small forward and your center likes to camp out at the three-point line and you have no three-point shooter at the two-guard spot, people after a while are going to begin to find ways to make you pay for those flaws, and that's what's happening. Utah certainly is still a playoff team, but I don't put them in that top hierarchy of the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns, and probably right behind them, the San Antonio Spurs. They're on the next level down. Should be a playoff team, but if they don't get past the second round, I won't be the least bit surprised.
Two more questions for you, and they're both related to the 76ers in some way. First of all, a quick update on Melo and AI and the fact that this team is going to be whole and what that means, and your predictions and how initially they're going to play.
I'll tell you what, the big question is not between Melo and AI, and I had a chance to, if anybody picks up the magazine this week, I did a cover story on those two guys. I got to hang out with them a little bit this past week, and they have been talking for the last 2 years about playing together. It wasn't just, it may have been a surprise to all of us that this came together, but they've been talking about it since Allen Iverson's mom brought the issue up, telling Carmelo at the 2005 All-Star game that she'd like to see him playing with her son. And so they have been talking about it for a while. But and so their friendship is intact. There's not going to be any issues between those two playing. The challenge is going to be those two are going to dominate the ball so much. How do you keep J.R. Smith and Marcus Camby and some of the other stars that they have or studly complementary players, how do they keep them involved? That is going to be the challenge. I'll tell you what, the way I saw Allen Iverson play last night against Portland, distributing the ball, making great passes into the post, if he plays that way, they will have no problems. Can they beat the best of the best in the West? Not this year. I don't see it coming around that soon. But if you look at all the pieces that they have, they're really not missing anything. They have great shot blocking. They have great rebounding. They're going to obviously have great scoring with Carmelo and Allen. So they could surprise some people. I don't know that it can come together quite that quickly enough for them to be title contenders this year.
Well, and also the relationship that seems to be there with an experienced coach who won't be intimidated, who has the people skills, who knows how to compromise in George Karl, that's got to be huge.
No, that absolutely is. George has always been very good. I mean, look, when he was in Milwaukee, he got Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, and Sam Cassell to play together. You couldn't get three more diverse personalities, three guys who love to have the ball. Did the same thing with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in Seattle. He has experience at it. So if anybody can keep these guys together, at least for the short term, eventually it always seems to go a little sour on George, but at least for the first year or two, he seems to have the knack to bring it all together. I would expect no less in this situation.
When we come back, final thoughts from Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine on Chris Webber headed to Detroit. We'll be right back on Head Games and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.